one of Tchaikovsky's greatest ballet scores, conducted by a great ambassador for Russian music, and a group of musicians who know their Tchaikovsky too, the orchestra of the Mariinsky Theatre, St. Petersburg. A very special Monday night at the BBC Proms on BBC Radio 3, starting at 7:30.
And BBC Radio 3 is on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Just gone 1 o'clock, time for the news from Lopa Kotari.
The Chancellor, George Osborne, has said the government remains committed to cutting police spending despite the riots across towns and cities in England in the past week. He said the causes of the disturbances lay in deep-seated problems within society, and solving them was not just a matter of police budgets. He said the government had to help people who felt just disenfranchised understand their responsibility to their communities. Police investigating the deaths of three men who were struck by a car while guarding shops from looters in Birmingham say five males aged between 16 and 28 are now being held in custody. Detectives have praised the dignity of the families of Harun Jahan, Shahzad Ali and Abdul Musavir, who were killed in the early hours of Wednesday. There's been a mixed reaction to the announcement that a senior American policeman is to advise the government in the wake of the riots. The Prime Minister has already discussed the violence with Bill Bratton, who cut serious crime rates and gang culture in Boston, New York and Los Angeles. But John Tully, who's the Vice Chairman of the Metropolitan Police Federation, said he didn't believe American advice would help the situation in England. Petrol stations are having to defend further increases in the price of fuel. Unleaded is close to a record high, averaging £1.36 a litre, even though the cost of crude has fallen by 18% in the past 4 months. The industry says the weak pound has made oil more expensive. The German Chancellor Angela Merkel is attending a ceremony in Berlin, marking the 50th anniversary of the building of the Berlin Wall. For 28 years, the wall was the iconic image of the Iron Curtain, which divided Europe. Tributes have been paid to the veteran BBC broadcaster, quizmaster and journalist Robert Robinson, who's died at the age of 83. In a broadcasting career which spanned five decades, he presented programmes including Call My Bluff and Ask the Family. And finally, the weather. Most areas will have a dry afternoon with some sunny spells. There'll be showers over high ground and across Northern Ireland. Tonight will be dry and cloudy with showers in the far southeast. That's the latest BBC news and weather. The time is coming up to 1:03.
And so to today's early music show, presented by Catherine Bott.
Welcome to the second weekend of programmes from the 2011 York Early Music Festival. Today's performers are The City Music, a group formed by woodwind player William Lyons to explore the lives and repertoires of those musical staples of Elizabethan and Jacobean towns, the Waits. Their York concert was called Walsingham's Conceit, Music for Six Several Instruments. And there were indeed six players on stage at the National Centre for Early Music, joined by tenor Jason Darnell. More about the Walsingham connection a bit later. The sound of The City Music blends winds, bowed and plucked strings, and they began their concert with two pieces by Thomas Morley, My Lord of Oxenford's Mask, and then Join Hands. Leicester City Music with two pieces by Thomas Morley to begin their concert, which was designed to evoke the sort of musical evening that Queen Elizabeth I would have enjoyed when she visited the Duke of Hereford at his country seat of Elvetham in 1591. After supper was ended, Her Majesty graciously admitted into her presence a notable consort of six musicians, which the Earl of Hereford had provided to entertain Her Majesty. Their music highly pleased her, that in grace and favour thereof she gave a new name unto one of their pavons, made long since by Master Morley, then organist at Paul's Church. The Fairy Queen and her maids danced about the garden, singing a song of six parts, with the music of an exquisite consort, wherein was the lute, pandora, bass viol, cittern, treble viol, and flute. The spectacle and music so delighted Her Majesty that she commanded to hear it sung and to be danced three times over, and called for divers lords and ladies to behold it. Good Queen Bess, a.k.a. Gloriana, the house guest least likely to say, "Oh, don't go to any trouble on my account." That description of what must have been a demanding but enchanting evening is very useful, because it sets out the required lineup for what's nowadays referred to as a broken consort. Broken in the sense of mixed. The sweetness of flute or recorder and the sustained sound of bow on viol string, punctuated by the delicate percussiveness of plucked strings to make a rich and delightful whole. That entertainment for the Queen featured songs as well as dances. To begin the next group in their York concert, the City Music added a singer into the mix, tenor Jason Darnell. Before we hear Sir Francis Walsingham's Good Night, Go From My Window and Alison's Almain, Jason sings the lovelorn Amant qui vous plaignez by Guillaume Tessier. Lovers, if you think you're unhappy, then listen to my tale of jealousy and burning desire. Thank you. for City Music, with pieces by English composers Daniel Batchelor and Richard Allison, beginning, though, with a song by the Frenchman Guillaume Tessier, performed by tenor Jason Darnell. Daniel Batchelor was apprenticed to Sir Francis Walsingham in 1586, so he was good at working that name into his music. We've just heard his Sir Francis Walsingham's Good Night, and the next piece is The Lady Walsingham's Conceits. The sources for the music in this York Early Music Festival concert were Thomas Morley's consort lessons and the Walsingham consort books, filled, as William Lyons says in his programme note, with music that would have caressed the ears of that hard-nosed, pragmatic spymaster to Elizabeth, Sir Francis Walsingham. During a rehearsal break, I asked Bill Lyons to tell me more about that complex, canny fellow.
It's curious, when you read about people from a historical perspective, you see their political lives, you see their sort of outward public life, and to all intents and purposes, Walsingham was a hard-nosed, rather paranoid, incredibly important member of the Queen and the government's setup, in that he was a leading spy master, but he also had his fingers in almost every pie, and he sort of succumbed to that desire to improve and impress at the same time. So he ended his life very much in debt, and having overexpanded, he'd expanded his property portfolio somewhat and ended up seriously in debt. But on the other side, you have a man whose love of poetry and his desire for the best musicians meant that he had this wonderful circle of creative, brilliant artists providing music for his household and for the entertainments that he would put on at various times. So whilst I wouldn't profess ever to be an expert on him, it's always fascinating. You get a glimmer of how someone else's inner life is reflected through their love of the arts. And I don't think it was all show, and I don't think it was all, you know, to gild his professional career. I think there was a real Renaissance ideal there in that sort of love of the arts and embracing of poetic and musical developments.
William Lyons, director of the City Music. Now they play The Lady Walsingham's Conceits by Daniel Batchelor.
Thank you.
City Music with a piece by Daniel Batchelor from the Walsingham Consort Books. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and highlights from a concert recorded at the 2011 York Early Music Festival. The concert took place in July, but according to the City Music, now is the month of May. The original and best Fa-la-la song, Thomas Morley's Now is the Month of Maying, given a witty treatment of contrasting speeds and lots of those decorative touches so essential to late Renaissance music, where no long note is safe from subdivision into its component hemi-semi-demi-quavers. Time to name the players of the City Music, joined for that song by tenor Jason Darnell. Director William Lyons plays flute and recorder. Treble viol is played by Amelia Benjamin and bass viol by Liam Byrne, with pluckers Angeir Høgsen playing bandora, Jacob Herringman the cittern and Elizabeth Kenny the lute. Seasoned early music players, all of them, so filling the stage with this sort of virtuoso colour comes naturally. But Morley's consort lessons were surely aimed in part at the domestic market. I asked Bill Lyons how much fun an amateur player of Tudor times would have had with this repertoire.
Well, actually, the intended market may well have included domestic music makers, people who would sit round their table playing viol, have a chest of viols at home and play their viols of an evening. But the dedication in the 1599 Thomas Morley First Book of Consort Lessons is actually to the waits of London, the official civic musicians, who were the theatre band at Blackfriars. There's possibly a bit of toadying going on there. Morley was a very keen publisher. He wanted to get lots of people involved in his franchise, as it were. And so it's quite possible that he was providing sort of versions that he'd heard this Waits ensemble playing in the theatre, whereby they might have had a repertoire that was largely extemporised around popular tunes. So, yes, it would have been intended for those people. Most people would have had sitons and viols at home. Bandoras perhaps were a little less common on the ground. But this consort, as you said, Caliban refers to twangling instruments, but silver sound was the term Shakespeare used for a certain type of music. And I think it was that combination of that earthy bowed bass and the ethereal metal sound and the sort of flute and recorder which sit above all the melodies all the time, playing an alto line that's actually an octave higher, would have been very attractive. And this is the first specified combination of instruments. Before, you were allowed to play music on any combination of instruments that you had to hand. But here we have a designated ensemble with what we see as particular roles, particular instruments within that ensemble. So it's very interesting in terms of the history of music ensembles and how they've structured and how they worked amongst themselves. And I guess we're all comfortable with our roles within this consort, and that's why we have quite fun doing it. It's one of those great team things where you have everyone doing their own job. Some of those jobs seem quite insignificant. Sometimes a flute part plays this rather uninteresting alto line, and I said it's like sitting at the verge of a motorway, eating your sandwiches, watching all the fast cars going by and doing very little yourself. But in fact, it helps to sort of cement the entire ensemble together.
William Lyons. He mentioned the music at the Blackfriars Theatre, and the City Music has played there too. Well, at the reconstruction of that theatre in Stanton, Virginia, a couple of years ago. Four more pieces, ideal for an Elizabethan musical evening now. Jason Darnell sings Tessier's song of unrequited love, Presse d'ennui, oppressed with cares. It's followed by The Lady Frances Sidney's Felicity, by Batchelor, and Morley's The Lord Suture's Mask. First, though, a piece that almost sums up an era, an arrangement of Dowland's Lacrimae Pavan.
Thank you. Marion, que tout manque.
City Music recorded at the 2011 York Early Music Festival. Three out of four of those pieces we've just heard will be quite familiar to lovers of 16th century English music. But what about the numbers by Guillaume Tessier that have been woven into the concert? I asked Elizabeth Kenny about these impassioned love songs, not yet even published.
This may well be the first bringing together of different parts from different part books that my colleague at Southampton, Janice Brooks, scoured the libraries in Paris to find. So what you have are three part books out of four that were spread around Paris in the 1580s. But we think they were probably performed as solo songs, but they were just written down in part books. The fourth part is kind of mysterious, so I make that up. But Guillaume Tessier was one of the first solo singers, and very excitingly, he also has a connection with the Walsingham Circle, so we thought it would be great to put some of that music in a programme of this mixed consort that Walsingham so loved. And it seems that, if you like, our history of solo song usually starts with John Dowland forging a path in 1597, publishing his great first book of songs. But this is a good 15 years earlier, and possibly Dowland himself and people like Daniel Batchelor would have been listening to the Tessiers. There were two of them, Guillaume and Charles, around this circle of poets and musicians that Walsingham collected together that included Philip Sidney. Guillaume R. Tessier was sort of exiled and sort of had a job in Scotland. He spent quite a miserable year, but was actually very fruitful because he seems to have arranged the music for Walsingham's daughter, Lady Frances. So there's a big melting pot of some wonderfully ornamented solo song performance going on with these consorts.
Elizabeth Kenny of the City Music. And to end our digest of the group's York concert of music that another Elizabeth also held dear, a couple of lively Italian dances by Thomas Morley. Oh, Gloriana danced a mean volta after all, and so the City Music play La Volto and La Coranto. Before them, a final number by Tessier. Jason Darnell is in Italian mode with the irresistible De Mamma Mia.
De mamma mia cara, a te ta figlia da, fa ch'io posso godere il cuore da tua mamma. E sempre dirò, benedetto lo dica, la mamma mia cara mi fe lo mio cuore contento, né mai più piangerò, ma sempre riderò. E sempre dirò, benedetto lo dica, la mamma mia cara mi fe lo mio cuore contento, né mai più piangerò, ma sempre riderò. Che chi m'ha dato il cuore dato gli ho, ne potria essere mai d'altri che donato gli ho, e sempre dirò. Ma se non fai contento, lo cuore mio dirò, che sai ingrata m'ama, né mai più t'ammarrò. E sempre dirò, maledetto lo dica, la mamma mia ingratta mi fe lo mio cuore scompiento, né mai più riderò, ma sempre piangerò. E sempre dirò, maledetto lo dica, la mamma mia ingratta mi fe lo mio cuore scompiento, né mai più riderò, ma sempre piangerò.
Thank you.
City Music, playing music by Thomas Morley. And that ends today's programme of highlights from their concert, which was recorded at this year's York Early Music Festival. Today's Early Music Show was presented by Catherine Bott. And you can hear more from the festival in tomorrow's programme, with music for Viola da Gamba and harpsichord, performed by Daniel Yeadon and Neil Perez da Costa. That's at the same time, just after the 1 o'clock news, here on BBC Radio 3. And the Early Music Show, you may like to know, now has its own weekly podcast featuring edited highlights from the programmes. And you can get full details of that from the Radio 3 homepage.
Hi, I'm Tim Minchin, and tonight Radio 3 will be broadcasting live the world's first BBC Comedy Prom. I'll be hosting and performing, and will be joined by the wonderful Sue Perkins, the witty Kit and the Widow, the divine Susan Bullock, the digitally gifted Danny Driver, the incredible boy with tape on his face, Beatmaster Beardy Man, the hilarious Doc Brown, and the genius of Jules Buckley, vaguely waving his baton in the direction of the BBC Concert Orchestra. All the great classical traditions of the proms treated with utter contempt by an ill-bred Antipodean and his silly friends. 7:30 tonight on BBC Radio 3.
Let's have a glance over to tomorrow. And in Discovering Music tomorrow afternoon, or perhaps it's the evening at 6 o'clock, I'm not quite sure, Stephen Johnson will be joined at the Birmingham International Piano Academy by the pianist Leslie Howard to uncover the musical nuances in some of Liszt's piano transcriptions. Liszt himself was a celebrated pianist whose transcriptions for the instrument served a number of purposes. Some showed off his own technique, while others were more easily playable by amateur musicians, and so they served to disseminate well-known pieces to a wider audience. Liszt tackled Schubert songs, mammoth Beethoven symphonies, Wagnerian leitmotifs and Verdi grand operas, but none of these transcriptions is in any way a pastiche. And there's a sense that they actually bring something different and distinctive to the original composition. Discovering Music is at 6 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Well, we have Liszt now here on BBC Radio 3, a recording of last Monday's Proms Chamber Recital, which was given at London's Cadogan Hall by current Radio 3 new generation artist Khatia Buniatishvili. She's playing works of virtuosity and atmosphere by two composer-pianists. We'll be hearing her in Prokofiev's Piano Sonata No. 7, and then in this Liszt anniversary year, two contrasting but equally demanding works by Liszt, both of which feature on Khatia's new debut recital recording. So she begins with Liszt's mighty Sonata in B minor, which is generally accepted as his greatest composition for the piano. In terms of musical form, it's three movements in one, and many people have interpreted the sonata as a pianistic working out of the Faust legend. They say the themes represent the deluded Faust, the cunning Mephistopheles, and the innocent Margarita. Liszt's B minor sonata, played by Khatia Buniatishvili.